Welcome back to Dwayne's World. Eddie McGuire about to join me in a matter of seconds. Justin Langer after 1 o'clock. Andrew Bogut, probably after 2 o'clock. Andrew Bogut to join me, and we'll bring you the latest from our Prime Minister Scott Morrison when he steps up to the microphone in about half an hour from now as well. But in the meantime, Eddie McGuire has been good enough to join me, part of the War Cabinet advisory group to the AFL, and of course Collingwood president, and of course Fox Footy colleague of mine. Now, welcome to you, Eddie. Great to have you on. Thanks for your time.
Good on you, Duane. Oh, geez, Justin Langer and Andrew Bogut, pick the odd man out there.
I'm trying to work out where you fit into that mix as well, and ScoMo, of course.
Of your next three guests, who's the odd one out?
I've got the order of importance right. Eddie McGuire, then Scott Morrison. Eddie, let's talk about the War Cabinet stuff, if you like. I know you're making all this modelling and facing scenarios as to when footy might or might not be played, but no one really knows right now. I'm curious to know, though, what do you think would be the latest date that we could play a grand final? Is it like the first week of Jan, or is it Australia Day? What would be the last date if we needed to try and get this 17-game season is? What would be the last date that might be considered?
Yeah, look, it's one of those ones, Duane, we've got no visibility, and really it is. It's just you and I musing here. This is, Don't quote that this is something that's going on or that's been discussed, because it hasn't been. But, you know, we look at it, and always we thought we had to finish the season, you know, on that last Saturday in September, or, you know, at a pinch the first week in October. But now things have just thrown itself wide open. I mean, you look at cricket. Cricket's played 12 months of the year these days. So the blurring of the lines on those things are completely different. And, of course, the other thing these days is that people now realise you can play football on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night or a Thursday night. It's not just locked into those areas. So I suppose one of the things we can imagine or even just daydream about is what would be the best way for us to enjoy our football. Maybe the days of playing, you know, Sunday afternoons are gone because people want to spend some time with their family or do other things. I don't know. So coming back to your answer, it opens it up. Now, does that mean it has to be done on the 31st of December? I did push for a game like that once upon a time. Did not too badly.
It went all right that game, didn't it? It did
go all right. In fact, it was probably a bit ahead of its time, to be perfectly honest. Certainly made Brendan Favola's life. He kicked 12 that night. But, you could go into January, and providing there's a bit of a gap, I think whatever happens, it's going to be hard. It's going to be jammed up if there is a season in 2020, and let's hope there is, for goodness sake. But then 2021, they're going to be pretty jammed up anyway, I would have thought. So, you know, is it one of those things that you might have two premiers in 2021? Do you go into January? Do you go into February? Obviously, the heat's a factor, but if you've got the roof on it anyhow, and you play it at different times of the day, as I said, you play at night time. It'd be beautiful to play footy at night time in the summertime. So I don't have a definitive answer for you, other than everyone's thinking of every possible way to get this to happen.
And 17 games is like the main thing that you're going to try and get away, isn't it? 17 games per team. You don't really want a scenario where we're facing less than that.
Well, the first meeting we actually had, and I'll tell you how quickly things go, I don't think I'm giving away confidence here, but we were talking, there's a president's meeting, I think it's been mentioned in the media anyway, and we're actually discussing Tasmania, believe it or not, and we're all pushing ourselves to come to an idea of how could this actually work. And and then the phone call came through from the Premier to Gil McLaughlin. He came back and said, oh, we've got some dramas ahead. And the first thing we started talking about was a truncated season. And the first suggestion that came out was, well, why don't we make the most of this and go to a 17-game competition? Well, at that stage, it was sort of dismissed out of hand because of the TV rights, et cetera, et cetera. Within 1 week, it became realistic and became pronounced by Gil that this would be the aim if we're able to get back this year. So, I think 17, if everyone played once, you know, is it the same if you play 14 and you miss three? Because at the moment, we basically do that the other way around, don't we? We play 22, which means 17 plus five randoms, if you like. I think once it's gazetted and the AFL do the draw and we get a look at it, and you'd like to think that might be, you know, the computer modelling might be able to throw up a season for us to have a look at. Then we can start doing those types of things and have further debate. But, I don't know. I had this discussion with Matthew Lloyd on air on Footy Classified last night about what is the what is the figure? And 17 is clearly the obvious one.
And it is more likely than not, if football does resume, that to get it underway as soon as possible, it might resume without crowds, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that there's three ways we're looking at it. One, that it doesn't go to air this year at all, or games are played. Two, that we play with crowds. Well, there's four, in fact. Three, that we play without crowds. Or four, that we play a hybrid where we start the season without them and then build into it once we can get people coming to the games. But, you know, it's. I spoke to Professor Doherty today on my radio show, and, you know, even he is talking about different scenarios and where it all goes to. So, you know, anyone who has any sort of a guess is exactly that. It's just a pure guess. And what we're really doing is just spitballing various scenarios.
Well, let me give you an opportunity to tell us something that I think I know you are doing, and I'm presuming that these are the exact modellings you have to make up. The safety of the people that are participants and the safety of the people that are involved in putting a game together in a venue like Marvel Stadium with no crowd at all, is there parameters that you can put in place, like the temperature testing of everybody that walks into the venue, so you can get a safe season up and running crowdless?
Yeah, well, look, they couldn't do that getting people coming off an airline. So I don't know how you go getting 50,000 people into one. Look, I suppose everything's possible.
I'm talking safety testing, just the players. So if we all of a sudden are in a situation where you have, it's less than 500 in the venue only, no crowd, but can you actually temperature test every one of the players and the medical staff, the five medical staff and whatever trainers you need and the coach?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt. We're basically doing that anyway, and I think you'd do that a month out. You know, there'll probably be a month pre-season, whatever the timing is, to get, you know, people a chance to get themselves right and get back into training and things. And you would do it from there. I mean, you'd probably do it before that. If you knew that you were heading towards it, you'd start testing your players a fair way out so that you could actually make sure that everyone was as right as you could possibly get to do that sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, we're all learning about this virus, and the medical profession, as they always do, are just going from level to level to level to level of expertise as they're finding out more and more about this. So by the time we come out of it, yeah, there'll be enough expertise, I would have thought, to make sure that people get the best chance of having a safe environment to play the game.
You're the king of theatre, Ed. EJ Whitten was one of the greatest of all time. You've taken the mantle as the number one. I love working with you because of it. But last night with Tony Jones, it didn't look like it was theatre. It was real.
Yeah, no, it was, Dwayne, because I must admit, I'm just sort of getting a bit sick of some of the media. Not necessarily Tony. I mean, he was quite right to ask the question, and I knew he was going to ask me about membership. So that's no problem. He didn't ambush me or anything else like that. But the thing, that, I mean, you look at it over a seven-day period, and I look at it this way, and I said this last night in my opening on Footy Classified. You know, in the last 7 days, footballers have taken what could end up being a 70% pay reduction. They were being called greedy, and last Wednesday on the show, I said, no, this is going to get done in the next 2 days. Things are going on at once. Now that we've actually got figures to look at and work through, the players want to do the right thing. So they were the money-hungry footballers, and that hurt a lot of people. Then you had just before that, it was, the AFL officials, they're not going to take a pay cut. Well, pay cut, 70% basically of the workforce in the clubs and the AFL are now no longer working, and everyone has taken a massive pay cut. And then I just had this sense that this was going to be another ambush, that this was, let's turn the members against the clubs, as if we're some, as I mentioned last night, you know, as if we're some oligarch that's sitting there dragging all the money out of the poorest of people. And I made the point last night that at our club, and this is the same for every club, so when I speak about Collingwood, take it as read that I'm talking about every club. We're all out there, you know, really working hard to try and save the game, keep people in work, and provide an opportunity that football always has. I keep talking about on Anzac Day how football prevailed during war years, and even when the governments were looking to stop it and there was great debate, people said, no, play on because it gives us something. And in fact, it was the soldiers on the front who wanted that bit of normality. So we're all trying to do that sort of thing. And I just thought that, you know, I was a bit sick of the media at the moment trying to, we all know what clickbaits are all about. We all know what the hero zero mentality is in the media. This is not the time for that. This is about working together. Yeah, of course, keep us under scrutiny, that we're not ripping people off, they're not being unfair. People don't realise that when people fall on hard times in any particular year, they come to football clubs and we look after them as best we can. But what we're saying is, if you have got the wherewithal, if you haven't lost your job, please stick with us. Stick with us and get us through, because this is the only income we've got, and it was a lot of it's been income that we got in October. It's already spent, mate. It's already spent. We've already gone from October through to April. And, you know, it is a very parlous situation. I think people don't realise just how parlous it is at the moment. Yeah, we've got that line of credit. We've got the banks there at the moment, but that money's going to have to be paid back at some stage and quickly. And that is just a rescue package at the moment. But if we have to sell the farm beforehand, there'll be no point. So, yeah, I probably reacted last night, but I could see where it was going. And I didn't want to be a prop for a setup and a gotcha moment. And I didn't want to do that because it means too much to too many people. And our clubs are on the line. And it's, you know, it wasn't just as you said, a bit of theatre and a promo for Footy Classified on the Nine News. No, that was real. Tony asked the legitimate questions. I thought he was trying to set me up a little bit. And I know how talkback radio works, that, you know, if I hang up the phone now and you say goodbye, you know, and you give me a clip on the way out the door, there's no chance for an answer back. And that's the way it's left hanging. I've seen this happen far too often over the years. And I could see it happening last night, and I just jumped.
Did Caroline Wilson last night play the gender card, or was her boys' club and play the woman line misread by me? Because there seemed to be a little bit of it in there, the gender card.
Yes, and I called her on air, and I spoke to her in the break about it, and she said, "Oh, no, I'm not. I didn't want to say playing the man when, in fact, I'm a woman." And I said, "Well, okay. Well, it sounded very much like you're calling out boys' club versus they're having a go at you because you're a woman. It's not the case. In fact, you know, the greatest respect we have for Caroline Wilson is we don't think of her gender. We see her as a combative, investigative reporter who has been at the top of her game for many years." So she recanted on that and said that no, it wasn't. She didn't believe it to be an attack on her based on gender, and she was quite happy to get stuck into people and break the stories that she believed were right from her football sources. But yeah, I agree with you. I think your reading of it and where it turned to, I think there's somewhere, it falls probably somewhere in between, or it started on one and ended at the other.
And before I let you go, Eddie, I'm looking forward to working with you on Fox Footy this weekend, doing a couple of recalls. You know, as well as I do, Fox are putting together their lists of greatest games of all time, and I think they're putting together a list of greatest grand finals of all time. I had a sneaky look at a list that I'd drawn up and had been drawn up by others. I think there's 6 Collingwood grand final losses in the top 20 grand finals of all time. Surely that's an overbalance, isn't it?
Oh, well, you know, you imagine what it was like for me growing up watching the footy marathons. It was... I didn't have to be put to bed. I had to be put in a padded cell.
I was
at all of them, a lot of them anyway. In fact, the first game I actually ever remember, you know, specifically, was sitting in the backyard out in Broadie listening to the 1970 grand final. And I remember the kid over the side fence jumped up. You know, I was pretty upset when the Pies got done. And he jumped up and said, no, you got the second chance. You guys got the second chance. You finished on top. And I ran inside and I'll never forget this. My brother sat me down, who was 7 years older. So I'm 5, he's 12. He said, Ed, mate, in grand finals, there is no second prize. There's no second chance. And it stayed with me all my life. In the big moments of life, you get one crack at it. You either win it or you don't. But my first ever grand final I went to was the 77 grand final, and 27 points up at three-quarter time. And then, you know, at 79, of course, and 80 and 81, and all the way through to the ones, you know, that what I was involved in. Now, 2002 still burns for me because Anthony Rocker's goal went straight through the middle. And more importantly, I'm not sure which one of the Scott brothers it was, because I don't want to find out, because I don't want to have a blue with them. But Fairdinkum, they jumped over the mark further than Bob Beamon jumped in the Mexico Olympics to touch that goal that Chris Tarrant kicked at the punt road end. And Darryl White was hanging off Chris Tarrant like a cheap suit. And the umpire, I watched the umpire, he put the whistle to his mouth and then he pulled it away. And we got that one at that stage. We might have been home. Anyway, not that I think about it often.
No.
Not that it's burned indelibly into my mind.
We're going to get you to recall that one. The 2002, we'll put you on the list to recall that, the 2002 Brisbane Conley. I'll have a chat to the bosses at Fox, and you are one of them, about it. See if they could digitally alter the ending. What if they digitally alter the ending?
Well, I'd want to just play it. The problem was Channel 10 didn't have a camera behind him, otherwise we would have known all about it. But anyway,
Love your work, Eddie.
2010 and 1998, they were fantastic wins. Actually, I was driving home from work last night, and I heard part of the call of the 2010 draw. And it was interesting because I'd been talking after the show was Ross Lyon about what happened that night and what they were doing at St Kilda, what we were doing at Collingwood. And there's so many great stories around these things, and not just the ones that have been written by journos, but actually first-hand accounts of people who were there. And I just think that this hiatus is going to, we want the footy back tomorrow if we can get it, but I just think there's going to be an opportunity for some great storytelling, and you do it every day, Dwayne, and it's why you and your station SEN are so valuable for our great game, just to hearing these stories and just thinking about what could be going forward. And I suppose in a lot of ways that's why I jumped last night. We don't need to have rancour in the ranks. Yeah, we need to have sensible debate. We need to have new ideas. We have to think outside the box, and everything's on the table. They're the cliches of the moment. But we do need to make sure that we keep this magic alive and just make sure that we end up with something great at the end of all this pain.
Great to have you, Eddie. Really appreciate your involvement in this program as well. Thanks for joining us on a semi-regular basis. Thank you.
Get on you, Dwayne. Do I send an invoice or am I doing it for free?
Absolutely. We'll sort something out down the line, Collingwood. I think I've got a couple of mates that wouldn't mind a cap. Thanks for your time, Eddie. Eddie McGuire, Collingwood president, joining me. A little bit of a break. Scott Morrison also to join us. Justin Langer and Andrew Bogart. Still a massive show coming up. We'll get a break in and we'll come to you at the other side of it with your calls. 1300 736 736.